just gets confusing. All right, so our sermon series that we've been going through in this fall, and the question I asked John is, and the second daughter being the woman with the issue of blood. Today, we're going to explore that in a little bit deeper with the idea that Jesus is the Lord of the new Exodus, that Jesus is the Lord of the new idea further through 17. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. And it's also printed, it's in the Pew Bible, and you also can, it's also printed in your bulletin or orders, however you want to say it. So when you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, seems like we're all there. Read with me. On the return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew to a part of town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him and welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away and go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodgings and get provisions, for we are here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so. And he had them down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up, 2 baskets of broken pieces. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, be with me right now, Lord. I'm a little bit nervous, Lord, but I pray right now that Anthony Johnson decreases and that you increase right now, Lord, to speak to your people. Just be with me right now and help all those that are traveling because of the holidays right now. Keep them safe, Lord. And we just pray that you just bless our time in the word today. Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people say, amen. All right. So if you don't know this about me, and I may not look it, but I really like to bake. I like to bake cookies. I like to bake cake. And I make some mean, like, homemade biscuits. They are delicious. You can come to my house one breakfast, and I can bake them for you. And I promise you, you won't go home disappointed. All right? So now, bacon is this interesting thing. Because with bacon, you gotta follow the recipe. If you don't follow the recipe, you can't be like the sous chef that improvises. You gotta follow the recipe. If you mess up the recipe with bacon, it throws the whole thing off. All right. So now, being the experienced baker that I am, I'm telling you, I'm an experienced one. Being the experienced baker that I am, there's this one situation that if you're familiar with bacon that everyone has ran into. When you start that recipe and you got that tasty treat, we just gonna call it cookies because that's my specialty. When you got those cookies that you about to bake, you got the butter, you got everything that you need, you don't mix it together, then you get to that part of the recipe that says you need 2 large eggs. Then you go into the refrigerator, you look into the refrigerator, and much to your surprise, because you didn't look beforehand, what you find is instead of 2 large eggs, you got 1 large egg, and here, sometimes it's the kicker is even sometimes you may go in there and you got 1 large egg and 1 small egg, but either way you're in a situation where you don't have all the ingredients you need to accomplish the missions that you set out for, which was the cookies in the first place. Brothers and sisters, in the same way, in pursuing our vision at Boulevard of seeing the Austin Oak Park community renewed socially, spiritually, and culturally. Let's be real. All of us have seen, have felt, or we going to see that we lack the resources we need to accomplish the mission. And you know who we're just like? We're like the disciples, that we lack the resources we need to accomplish Christ's mission in our church, in our neighborhood, and in our world. So how does Jesus meet our lack of resources? Oh, I'm going to turn us back to the text. So Jesus is sitting there. All of a sudden, he hears the noises of a bunch of men laughing, joking, and having a good time. And they should be laughing and joking and having a good time because they had just experienced the first victory, just like an army that has its first time in battle. These men had just experienced their first victory in ministry. You see, Jesus had sent them out in groups to go preach and heal people. And they had come back and it was like mission accomplished. So Jesus hears them approaching. They get to the Lord and they start telling story after story of, Lord, we preached the good news and people heard and responded. Lord, we were healing people. People got healed. You know what I'm saying? Somebody walked on water. And I'm just saying they didn't do that. But like we had an impactful ministry. They had a season of ministry success. And so Jesus rejoiced with his disciples. Now, when you know when you've been around people, for those of y'all that are, even if you're a parent, when you've been serving people for a long time, you get tired. And so Jesus is in them are tired. And so he has his disciples withdraw to a place called Bethsaida. Now, when they get there, they hear a noise that, you know, for us, may have been unwanted. All of a sudden, they are in the desolate place in Bethsaida. They don't withdrew. They're on a retreat. Then all of a sudden, the very people that they're trying to get away from, they hear them coming. They can hear them chattering and talking. And then it's just like, if you're a disciple and you just had this great season of ministry and you're tired, and then you realize that people are coming, you're like, what is... But Jesus, the scriptures say, he welcomes them. They went to withdraw, but Jesus brings them close. And not only does he do that, he actually brings them close gladly. And he begins to heal them. And he begins to preach concerning the kingdom of God. And when he's preaching concerning the kingdom of God, he's talking about the need for repentance, the need for forgiveness of sins. He's talking about that injustice will be overturned. Why? Because now the Messiah, the promised king, is on the scene to make things new. So he's preaching about the kingdom of God. He's healing people. And people are so enamored with the ministry that's going on that they're there and they don't even realize that it's starting to get dark. And let me remind you, brothers and sisters, there are no streetlights. And so the disciples approach Jesus with an urgent request. They walk up to Jesus, and Jesus is preaching, and they tap him on the shoulder. Lord, you got about 5 minutes. It's going to get dark. Send people home so they can get food and get somewhere to stay for the night so they can rest their head. Now, the response is unusual. Jesus looks at the disciple, and I'm going to paraphrase this as a Southerner. He said, y'all get them something to eat. So this is how I see it going on. The disciples look at Jesus. The disciples look at each other. They look at the crowd. Then they look at Jesus. Then they look at each other. They look at the crowd. And then they look at Jesus. And they're like, Lord, you see how many people out there? They said, and besides that, I don't know if you know this, but somebody forgot to bring them enough food. You know, we only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And besides that, do you want us to go to the store with money that we don't got to buy for people that we still trying to decide that we like right now? I don't think we want to do that right now. Somebody took the number. I don't know who counted. Lord, there's about 5,000 brothers out there. You know, think about it. And he's saying, give them something to eat. So he's basically saying, okay, you guys become the host for 5,000 people. Now, you know, if you have 10 people coming over your house, that's a small gathering. You go to the store, you buy what you need. If you have 20 people, that's a party. 20 people. Don't ask me how I got these numbers. I'm just making it up. It just feels right. If you got 20 people, it's a party. But if you got 50 people, something's wrong. you need more resources than five loaves and two fish. So Jesus does something even more ridiculous. He says, you would think he would say, oh, guys, you guys are right. You guys, we don't have enough. We don't have what we need. But he says, have them sit down in groups of 50. Groups of 50. And so, remember, there's 5,000 people. So there's 100 groups of 50 people waiting on something to eat. And at this point, as a disciple, you got to be a little bit panicked because you know what you got in the bag, and you know that what you got in the bag ain't going to be enough to feed what you got out there. And so the bread and the fish brought to him. And as a disciple, you look like, well, it's been real walking with Jesus. He's been doing a lot of good things. He did raise those he did raise Jairus' daughter and, you know, that woman with an issue of blood. But it's been real. You know, everybody, you know, has their time where it's time to end things, and this is going to be that time. I wonder if they still hiring at the fishing dock. And the crowd and the disciples witness something crazy. Jesus gets the five loaves and the two fish. He blesses them. And he begins to pass it out to the disciples. They go to the first group of 50. They're served. Do we still got enough? All right, let's see. They go back to Jesus. He keeps serving. He keeps serving. They see with their eyes and their taste buds that Jesus can take their little to feed a lot. Brothers and sisters, he multiplied five loaves and two fish to feed 5,000 folks. And we know that this just wasn't some spiritual type thing where everyone was satisfied. The scriptures say, like, the Greek translation of it, I'm not going to give you the Greek word because Dr. Alec Lucas will get on me because I'm going to mess it up. It's basically that sense of that word is they ate their fill. So they ate it all up and they were satisfied. And we know that it was multiplied because at the end it says that there was 12 baskets left over of food. So I remember a song back in the day by Gary Oliver where it says, our God is more than enough. At that point, Jesus was more than enough to feed 5,000 people. Brothers and sisters, Luke is doing something interesting for us here. He's painting Jesus as the new Moses. Like Moses, Jesus leads his people to the desert to find rest because the Israelites were escaping Egypt. Like Moses, the people need to be, like Moses, he teaches them in the desert. However, unlike Moses, Jesus feeds the people. And Luke is doing something crazy here. He's basically saying that Jesus is not even just a true Moses. He's the ultimate expression of the God of Moses. That he feeds his people in the desert. The Old Testament Exodus brought about a temporary deliverance from slavery, oppression, and separation from God. But the new Exodus that Jesus would accomplish would bring about a permanent solution, redemption, and overturning of evil, oppression, and separation from God. Brothers and sisters, because the Lord accomplishes the new Exodus, we can have hope
when we feel our lack. Because the Lord accomplishes the new Exodus, we can have hope when we feel our lack. Brothers and sisters, all of us face desolate places. Desolate places are the places that we feel our lack. And usually what follows when we feel our lack is that we feel hopeless. So if you feel lack and you feel hopelessness, you're in a desolate place. You may feel in the there's a social piece of our vision. You may be feeling in a desolate place politically right now. We have viewpoints in this congregation that range from politically conservative to politically liberal. And no matter where you are on the end of the spectrum, I know for a fact, because I live here too, that our political process, it feels hopeless. It doesn't feel effective. It doesn't feel like it's working toward a future that we hope for. But in the words of the great Common Grace theologian, India Ari, there's hope. There's hope because Jesus is the Lord of the new Exodus that will establish his kingdom. Jesus is establishing his kingdom in this earth. And his kingdom will actually do better than what our political process does. His kingdom will actually bring about the society that we truly want to live in. Brothers and sisters, there's hope. Some of us may be feeling the racial tensions in our country, or they're not just bubbling, they're roaring to the surface in our country over the last few years. And let's be real, Austin is predominantly black. Oak Park is predominantly white. And there's a lot of different other mixes of ethnic groups in our neighborhood of Austin and Oak Park. If you're a minority, I can speak on this because I am a minority. You may be feeling tired, and you may be feeling at that place where I just don't want to be around white people. I'm just done with it. I'm tired of having to explain my existence, explain my culture, justifying who I am and how I do things. I'm just tired. Brother or sister, there's hope. If you are a white person, a part of majority culture, you may be feeling like you just can't win. No matter what you do to try to seek healing, it never seems like it's the right thing. Or you may be hung up because you don't even know the right word to say, because anytime you say any kind of word, it's always the wrong word. And you may be feeling tired and hopeless and faint and wanting to throw in the towel and give up. But brother and sisters, there's hope because Jesus, brothers and sisters, we're not living into a unity that we have to work for. We're living into a unity that's already been accomplished by Jesus' blood. Jesus accomplished the unity between black, white, Asian, Latino, South Asian, African, Australian, and everything in the world. Jesus has accomplished that unity for us. And you know what, brothers and sisters? That's the gospel. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. The reason that we're feeling hopeless, brothers and sisters, is because ultimately we're trying to do work that's not ours to do. It's God's to do. That doesn't mean that we don't pursue strategy. That doesn't mean that we don't just do ordinary means of grace to see these things happen, but we gotta remember that it's the blood that brings us together, and that's where the conversation starts for us in the church. So brothers and sisters, there's hope. You may be in a place where you may be saying, we're talking about renewing Austin and Oak Park spiritually, but man, I don't even know if I'm renewed spiritually. You may be in a place where your quiet time may be non-existent. You may be in a place where your quiet time may be too infrequent. But there's hope. You may be in a place where you may just even be doubting God. You may be doubting that God is real, that God is able to do what he says he can do in the scriptures. And that's all right, because there's hope. You may be in the spiritual battleground that's called parenting right now.
Your kids are driving you. You're at the end of your rope. That teenager, they don't seem to be listening anymore. And you tried everything and you're at the end of your rope. That elementary school age kid, they got their own ideas about how life is supposed to work. And they seem to always be in like contrast to what you're saying. Brothers and sisters, there's hope. You may be dealing with those little people that are called toddlers. They have more attitude and they have more energy than you have. And your house constantly looks like a tornado has gone through it. It feels like you clean up at night and by 10 seconds into the morning, you ain't even took them to preschool yet or the daycare yet, the house is messed up again. And you may feel like you're at the end of your rope and you're feeling like you're drained of your spiritual resources. But brothers and sisters, there's hope. Some of us are walking with family members who are walking through illness. Some of us have lost family members due to illness. But brothers and sisters, there's hope. Some of us have faced so many transitions, we can't even count the ways that life has changed over the last few months, years. Some of us are facing new houses, new cars, new church, new schools, new educational development. Everything around you is looking like it's just brand new, and you're looking for one constant to hold on to. Brothers and sisters, there is hope. Brothers and sisters, there's hope because Christ meets us in those desolate places, and he feeds us with good food. He feeds us with the food that when you feel like you're about to give in and give out, that's where God meets you with strength. Brothers and sisters, there's hope because of the Lord of the new Exodus, Jesus. He meets us in those desolate places and gives us the true food that renews us, the food that gives us strength to carry on and to fight on. He is Yahweh in the flesh, and now Yahweh is now that Yahweh is on the scene, he's going to redeem and he's going to deliver his people. The Old Testament Exodus delivered God's people from slavery and oppression and separation from him. The ultimate Exodus would deliver the whole world from slavery, oppression, and separation from God. Brothers and sisters, there's hope. Brothers and sisters, if you're facing a situation where they're giving you fake love, God is going to give you true love. There's hope. If you're facing a situation where you're about to give in and give out, God is going to give you the strength to keep carrying on. If you're facing a situation where your spouse is getting on your nerves and you just at the end of your rope with them, God is going to give you strength to keep loving. If your neighbor is getting on your nerves, God is going to give you strength to keep on loving them too. If you're walking with your kids and you're at the end of your rope, brothers and sisters, there's hope because God gives us food that we don't got to keep us carrying on. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind us this morning that there is hope. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but when I get in a desolate place, my God is more than enough. So you keep carrying on. You got to say it just like that too. Brothers and sisters, there's hope because the Lord accomplished the new Exodus for us so we can have hope when we feel our lack.
Thank you, Anthony. So in light of